My twin sister, she's got a one-track mind.
So many boys, so many
Only
numbers.
Deluxe Dear Diary sends talking messages and has cartridges to hold all your personal secrets. Deluxe Dear Diary, unlimited space for all your secrets, and best of all,
what a hunk.
It talks, too.
Good idea. It is December 1989 and a half. And designer t-shirts are sporting sequins, which is bad news for your wallet, your bare arms, the vacuum cleaner, and the washing machine. Paulina Porizkova, it doesn't matter. She's on the cover of U.S. Vogue, while Claudia Schiffer's on the cover of your mom's Cosmo she keeps under the ashtray in the back bathroom. UK chain Sock Shop abruptly closes its 17 U.S. stores. Do you remember where you were when you heard the news? And marching band jackets are cool again, but please keep in mind that Tara writes the list that we pull these facts from. But you don't care about all of that because ABCC. So, yeah, after having bad I hate you sex with Dennis from second period, you opted for a mega abortion. You weren't even pregnant. You just didn't want anything inside of you to have anything to do with that dink. Your dad's got a fancy new fuck buddy, but that's nothing you ever want to hear about again. And Magnum's missing, so yeah, you pooped your pants in the hallway, but your perfect green poop smells like Marx-a-Lot, so that's why nobody noticed until the end of the day. It wasn't that big of a deal, because that last C is a very big deal, because Magnum is missing, and it's literally the worst thing that's ever happened to you and basically erases any moment that happened to you before this. This is real. This is real life. This is a diary. You've put up Magnum's photo and your phone number all over town or as many places as you could by foot, and you only had 10 pictures of Magnum to tape to the construction paper, so you really hope this works. Your kingdom for a Xerox machine. While you wait for the phone to ring or your sweet dog to come home since you can't wish for more wishes because of some bullshit loophole blocker, it's probably a good idea to pass the time by taking your latest dose of post-mega-abortion antibiotics while flipping the pages of your favorite place to learn about tights. That's right, it's time to
listen to Sassy!
Man, I have some questions. So wait, it was a non-abortion mega abortion.
Well,
it was just like a giant douche.
It was a plan C.
Okay. Wouldn't it be plan A? Because it was like even bigger than plan B. It was like the first thing.
No. These things go all the way to C.
Got it.
You see, and then you don't. Yeah.
And then the other question I have is back bathroom.
Yeah.
So there's a bathroom at the front of the house. Like, you walk into the front door, and if you turn to your left, there's a bathroom there.
It might not, but that's probably a closet, but yes, it's the first door on the right is your front bathroom.
Hang on a sec. I gotta clean something up. And then, what is the back bathroom exactly?
Well, you know, it might be the master bathroom that I probably don't call that anymore, but we probably called it always the back bathroom.
Okay, it's not an outhouse.
No, it's the back bathroom. It's the one that you don't tell the guests about. It's an emergency bathroom.
Look, you grew up in rural Texas. I don't know what you guys did.
You can have a back bathroom in an apartment.
We did. Remember? We had a back bathroom in our place in LA.
I don't know. Something about back bathroom sounds like there should be banjos playing. I don't know. Just the terminology.
Dave, that back bathroom in that apartment was like the backiest back bathroom ever. Wasn't it like outside of the back door? But it was like there were stairs in the back that like went out to the backyard that we didn't really have access to. And then there was like the washer dryer, and there was another bathroom that was like where you used to shower. And it was just like a shower sink.
Yeah. I totally forgot about that.
I don't even think we knew it was there when we agreed to take that apartment. It was just like, wow, bonus bathroom.
It was like Narnia.
Yeah.
And urgent business. That would be where this bathroom would serve you.
Yes.
It's like, I have to get to a mystical wonderland, but it'd be great if on the way there, just before I open whatever door is going to get me there, I could do a quick tinkle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that bathroom was very much like, if you ever had a dream where like you're in your house, but it's not your house and you go around a corner and there's like all these rooms that you never knew about, that was that bathroom, except it was real.
It was real, yeah. And then you would have to walk down that weird hall, and there's always one room in a house of a certain age that has like the linoleum from, you know, and it was the one room they didn't bother update when ripped out all the other linoleum in the house.
Yes.
But this hallway to the bathroom, to the mysterious back bathroom of semi-Narnia has that linoleum.
Yes.
And it has different colors depending on where you look. And some of the colors are like new colors.
Anyway, what are we doing? Listen to Sassy.
This has been Back Bathroom Talk.
Yeah. which is shot by Dave's friend and ours, George Holtz.
George Holtz!
Is Nadege. I looked her up. Her full name is Nadege du Bospeltus. Her first photo shoot was only a few months before this. She was on the July 1989 cover of a French magazine called 20 ans, which means 20 years. She got booked for a shampoo ad just 4 months later by none other than Herb Ritz, extremely famous, I believe, now dead photographer.
Putting on the herbs.
She was, in the 90s, a muse to both Giorgio Armani and Gianni Versace. And I feel like I can see how she was such a big deal as a model, just from the contrast between the cover shot and then the inset one on the About Face page, because she looks very different to me.
I have a question about this.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more of a question for Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But if you had chicken, it was kind of bland, what might you think?
Putting on the Ritz.
No, putting on the herbs.
Oh, I thought I was supposed to do the opposite again.
You damned it.
No one knows what that means this time because we got all that.
Yeah, okay, so go to the end of the show. Go to the after show. Listen to what Pamdit is. And then come back here and
that's
laugh
already
again.
At the end of the show?
It's already at the end of the show.
Editing in real time.
Yep.
Wow. Anyway, I'm wrapping this up because it's already gone off the rails. She was a judge on Italia's Top Model. Later, she married an Italian businessman per
hey,
Wikipedia.
Hey, you looking nice! That's the catchphrase from that show.
Oh, I thought that was her husband's catchphrase. It was probably both.
And then, if you lose, hey, a spaghetti out of here. It's not. That wasn't racist or insulting at all.
Just, no. In conclusion, Sassy was lucky to get her on the come up because after this, she was a very big deal.
Hey, Mussolini wasn't so bad.
Oh boy.
Our first fashion feature is called In Sequins. Our photographer is Glenn Erler. Our models are Kendra and Nadege. Was Glenn Erler the rural juror? Probably.
Glenn Erler.
Erler. Get the worm.
Comma Glenn.
So this is a story about putting sequins on shit because
yeah. It really is.
Out of focus sequins.
Yeah.
Not buying shit with sequins on it, which is what a fashion spread should be.
Okay, thank you. Because, you know, I understand why you do a sequin story for a December issue because, you know, holiday parties, they've done this, they did this last year as well. But there should be a very large, very visible disclosure notice when they show you something and then are like, psych, this is a regular-ass t-shirt. We just glued these sequins to it. You can't buy it yourself. You have to find it and then spend hours and hours and hours doing this work to wear this garment one time because the first time you wear it, it's going to be shitting sequins wherever you are and then you're going to have to just throw it away because you can't wash it.
And also, in this first one, they say, basic white tee, our friend Tina Tux glued on the sequins with a hot glue gun. And I feel like since in this spread, you can't see the hundreds, if not thousands of sequins she hot glued onto this thing.
Yeah.
Because she's turned away, her arms are crossed over it, I guess because she forgot her bra. And you just know that Tina was like, well, you better fucking put my name in that spread because I want something.
Yes.
You're not going to pay me and I can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Regular ass t-shirt is a good name for one of those online services where it's just like, you don't want those fancy shirts. You just want a basic yes. man shirt. Mm-hmm. Come to regularassshirts.com. Brilliant. Yeah. I suggest that you register that. Mm. And the main photo, which is the second photo of the spread that we've been talking about, really is the best photo of being on a beach in cold weather that I've ever seen. There's nothing about this that says fashion is fun. Everything about this says, I've never been so miserable in my life.
Yes.
If you go to the beach in winter, there's something seriously wrong with you. It is the most depressing place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this photo captured it all.
Yeah, it's true. And the shot of Nadege and the t-shirt, too, you can tell they, like, threw a bucket of water on her because it's still dripping off her chin. And I think that's why she's hugging herself, because she's trying not to die of hypothermia.
Yeah.
She's freezing. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
On to this next ridiculous thing. Just a splash of sparkle is a girl in a puffy jacket. You know, this is the reason why we all think, I'll wear that Ren Faire shirt and everyone will think I'm beautiful. this is the problem. It's this. Because she's wearing a Ren Faire frilly shirt under what you then read is a wrestling suit.
Yeah.
And that the sequins are, in fact, patches that they sewed on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like motorcycle boots and booty short. And I was like, where the fuck are these?
Where?
And then you realize it's off. It's the butt on the side and barely a boot at the bottom of the girl next to her.
Oh, my God. It is.
She doesn't get to count. She doesn't get to count.
Slender sequin man behind her.
I definitely had the slender sequin man to figure it out. I zoomed in, which I didn't have the benefit of. And I was like, where are these boots? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There they are. Just try to go through one hallway change in school wearing this. Just one. Just see what happens.
Well, it's a wrestling singlet, which means it's shorts. Right? This only goes to like your mid thigh. And so like, I guess you're not peeing today because you have, this is my problem with jumpsuits still. I know people have accepted jumpsuits. They're now part of culture. I will reject them until the day I die. But this is why, like you have to peel this entire thing off in a high school public bathroom.
Yeah.
No way. No day.
Why don't we still have, you know, in cartoons where they wore the union suits, you know, and they had the little bum flap in the back, you know, the two buttons and the, you know, then you see the bum.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just have that on both sides?
Mm-hmm.
Just figure out a way to make it, you know, not super obvious.
Yeah.
The next picture is...
fine.
The next picture is... I'm trying to figure out who this actress is. Oh, it's...
Her?
It's, she looks exactly like... Tara, help me out.
Mae Whitman?
Mae Whitman. Yes, she looks exactly like Mae Whitman. So here's Mae Whitman in the pink car coat that's making me think, I need a car coat and I need it in pink. And she's wearing a sequin bra, but you can barely see it. And her earrings are cool. It's a whole look. But the next look, where perhaps she's just finished working for the night on the beach. This is not a happy look.
Wink.
It says, pastel pajama flowered shirt. We sewed on the sequins. And this is awful. We sewed on the sequins. You should be able to read that all the way down this pole she's leading against to this. This thing, because that's a lot of sequins.
Mm-hmm.
This is a shirt. This is a craft. This is a craft. This is not a fashion spread.
No, it's true.
A hooker beneath a pier. It's called docking, just so you know.
Oh, God.
Docking is something else.
Oh. Did I stumble across something I don't want to know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want me to explain it?
Oh, I don't know. Do I? Well, explain it to me, and then we'll see where it goes.
It involves foreskins, and that's all I'm going to say.
Right, I didn't know. I didn't want to know that. That's a lot of skins.
Dear Sassy, I heard about docking, and that has something to do with foreskins.
Four?
Is my brother just messing with me? 720 Sassy Go. Fashion feature number two of Mountains and Melodrama. I just wrote real... Oh, I'm sorry. The photographer is George Holtz.
George Holtz.
I have to say that for Dave. Thank you. And our model is Monaco.
Monaco.
Ankhs have entered the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Yeah. This is your... Like, if that was too sparkly and party fun, get ready to hate on things and put all your makeup on and make your hair look like you've never really wanted to shower. Just sometimes you have to.
I have very little to add to this because this was never my aesthetic and it still isn't. But when I mentioned in the last episode, my friend who had those Fluvog shoes that were mentioned in What Now, in the story about the girl who kicked an attacker with them, my friend Fur, she would do this. It's like a neo-goth style that was definitely very big in my high school that I was at by this point, which had a very serious drama program. And the very serious drama students all dressed very seriously in these all black bell sleeves situations.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot.
I did too. But I couldn't wear these boots. These, you know, knee high suede boots that are kind of shabby looking.
Is that what they are?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first photo, she's on a little rocky outcrop with a dead tree holding it onto it. Looks like she's supposed to be on top of a mountain peak. I'm sure she was half a foot off the ground.
When you see a hooker there, it's called mountain goating.
Can we just stop saying hooker? I don't mind the jokes.
Okay.
I mind the vernacular.
All right. When you see
being contemporary,
worker.
Pam.
Oh.
Okay. So now I understand they're two pairs of boots. If you're not looking at the photo, and if you're not, shame on you, but I'll try to explain it in layers, which is the top layer, black shirt. the middle layer, burgundy stockings,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. And then boots, black boots. So black, yeah, burgundy, black, except the top of the boots are no contrast black that kind of connect together in the photo. So it looks like she was trying really hard to put up a pair of kids' pants.
It does.
Didn't really fit and just stopped. And then they took the photo. And also, the model here looks like Dietrich Bader. So that's not great.
Yes, she really does. And that is what it looks like when I try to wear these boots. It looks like my pants are falling down, it's sad. And it's I have calves and thighs, and you just can't do over the knee anything. It just looks like they're like, oh, could they not go all the way up?
Mm-hmm. You have to be a magnitude taller than anybody on this podcast is to pull off boots.
That's true. Sort. This is a tall girl look.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then on the second photo, there's like airbags for her boobs or something. I don't know what's going on in this dress exactly. Mm-hmm. Again, the photography in this one is weird, like the color choices, the duotones. She looks, I know it's a goth thing, but it seems like she is actually maybe like malnourished kind of photo.
It also looks like do-it-yourself gothness. Like there's no fantasy element here. It just looks like Brenda got what she needed, grabbed a prop. And just took pictures of herself in the backyard and people were like, oh, you have to come see what Brenda's doing.
Well, yeah, okay, so what is going on in the second photo? Because it looks like, to me, that the main sort of crescent-shaped detail of this dress should be back towards her shoulder, but the wind is blowing it to the middle of her body, and they still took and used the photo. Is that right? Because the other one looks more positioned like I thought it should be, on the left side, which is kind of shoulder adjacent.
I don't know. I truly don't know which way is right. And please listen to the air quotes on that, because there it's like if this is a bolero and it looks like it is, or possibly two boleros layered on each other, like they wouldn't, if you folded them both over her boobs, like they would overlap and that would be like super bunchy, but back and over her shoulders, so that they're like sleeve protectors, that doesn't seem right either.
Yeah, it says it's a bolero with a pliable taffeta trim. So he's right. You can just do what you want on this. But as confusing as this thing is, I want to throw in another element, which is they describe it as brown. And it makes me very mad at this entire photo shoot. She is often wearing brown, and you just have to read to know that.
Yeah.
Because you can't see to know that.
Because this is blue. No, this is blue, what we're seeing.
No, it's the black part, I think, also that's brown, too, because we're going to get more of this in a second.
What Tara means is it's the treatment on the photo. It's a duotone, so it's a black and white photo that uses yellow for the white and blue for the black. That's why it looks like the way it does. Like, it doesn't look like this when they took the photo, I think.
Yes,
I think it's just like a post-processing treatment on it, a duotone.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the dress from Twitter all over again, and I hated it then, and I hate it now.
Because you can see it in the next photo. You can see that all the blacks are blue and all the whites are topazy.
Mm-hmm.
This next photo on page 54 has a sound when you look at her, and it's...
Yep.
Sound is Lisa Simpson saying, I am the lizard queen! This is exactly that pose. And I know you're not Simpsons conversant, Pam, so just so you know, I put it in the chat for you.
Thank
so
you can marvel. You were ready. You were ready. Yes.
Furthermore...
Oh yeah, you're right.
This fucking dress is $280. I mean, I know we were also mad at the three-pack of Hanes t-shirts that were $10 in the previous story, but don't be showing me a $280 dress. Like, I understand this is just for inspiration, and you're like, find a version of this that you can afford at, like, the coolest vintage store you can find, I guess, but...
She's also wearing a $325 cape on top of the $280 dress. And the $325 cape is by Laura Ashley. And I maybe would have, like, just done this to be able to say, like, yeah, I wear Laura Ashley, too. Everybody can get off my fucking back.
Also, this photo is such a high contrast between subject and background. It would be easy to take her out. Once you take her out of the photo, you can then mount her on a fancy European car hood, and then she would be exactly the right size for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm on a Zephyr!
You also look like you can hold her as a religious icon and, like, just make things repel. You could fill her with holy water.
Mm-hmm.
Pull off her head.
Stick her on the front of a boat.
Yes.
Yeah.
All of it. Let's do it all, you guys. There's no stopping us. The picture on page 56, this is an outfit where if you looked at it, it's too late and now your boyfriend will be leaving you for her. She somehow knows Steven Tyler. And you'll never be this cool. You can't wear crushed velvet and a bustier. You can't.
No.
First of all, it's like you just look like you're in your rehearsal clothes for theater.
And, yes, you do.
And you lost your petticoat.
Yep.
But she probably is in a band, or at least her brother is, and her dad is in something famous, and she's gone with your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You never got her name.
Could be a real pirate.
I don't know. Not with these shoes. She doesn't have pirate hands. Like, her sleeves go all the way down to her fingers. You can't be swashbuckling. Finally, look on page 57, a costume. And if you try to wear this necklace, so it would turn everything green. There's just no way this is a necklace that's supposed to be worn. This is a prop necklace for walls.
Yeah, that is the cross of Coronado that Indiana Jones steals at the beginning of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Just, again, if you don't have the photo in front of you, and shame on you if you don't, that's what she's wearing around her neck.
Are you sure? Because to me, it looks like a gingerbread man.
It does also look like a gingerbread man amputated. Yes.
You definitely use it to unlock something you like the Goonies. Like, right in and then you can turn it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of yellow space above her head, which would have been a great place to write, "This dress is actually brown." Mm-hmm. Because it is.
Our final fashion feature is called having a ball, as in Lucille. And I'm going to, as much as we have had fun at the expense of the fashion stories in this issue so far, and I stand by everything all of us said, I do give credit to this issue for being like, here are three completely different weird things you can try to do depending on your mood. This is like, these are like a personality test, these three fashion features, because they're like, they truly could not be more different takes on like how to be in your, what your aesthetic should be.
It's like they're matching up the story about the school cliques with fashion choices.
Yes.
Yeah. Metalheads, goths.
I'm not a Lucille Ball fan or an I Love Lucy fan, and yet all of these outfits are very cute to me because they're just classic kind of mid-50s style. The tailoring is good. The prints are good. I'm not crazy about the rickrack thing with the off the shoulders. That's the grape stomping inspiration photo on page 67, but the rest of them are good, and I guess they only had five outfits because the last one is just a shot of a window, but I would like to know where they got this glass pitcher that's on the ledge, because it's
the last shot, which contains beautiful. No fashion, is also the most tack sharp photo of the bunch. The rest of them, again, classic sassy, not really in focus fashion shoots. I do want to say, in the first photo with the woman on the swing in the yard, I just misread the caption as, "This page, chicken barbecue style midriff." Probably because there's a chicken place in town called Lucy's. I think Fabry's where my brain went.
Yeah. Might be doing it, yeah. What she's wearing, what they say is a lampshade hat, and I love it, and I want to see all of it. It looks, it's all fringy, and it looks like you're wearing the party lampshade, but it's also a hat. It's a sun hat. I can't pull it off, but I want to watch someone pull it off.
Yeah.
The third photo of the series with Lucille Ball cleaning the floor kitchen with a sponge, which is why. But I just want to bring up the, I assume, cupboard over the sink, you know, where you just put all your toxic chemicals and maybe a garbage can. I really love this cupboard. The bottom of it is sort of, I don't know what the woodworking term is. Yeah. We don't do that anymore. Kind of reminds me a bit of my grandmother's kitchen. Something also reminds me of your old house, like way back when, Pam.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Mm-hmm. I had all this. I had that O'Keefe and Merritt little oven. My mom and my house down the street where my mom lives, not my house, it used to be my house. Now my mom lives there. She has the scallop little bottom there. It's all of this. I lived this fantasy in my apartment in Los Feliz, all of this. The lemons on the ledge, AB Chow. Went flea market shopping with me all the time, and this is how you make. But so I didn't even know that like I knew inside I wanted this look, and when I'm looking at it here, I'm like, oh, it's probably this. It's probably this, because I am sure I reenacted sponge on the floor, fingers up. I'm just gonna scoop, swoop, because you're alone when you're single, and you finally got like you're alone with your place. You're always picking up cat hair because you're not really alone because you have cats because you're a single lady in an apartment.
Yes.
And yeah, this is how you live out your little fantasies.
Also, bring back checkered floors for kitchens.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Agree. I don't necessarily think the toaster cozy is a great idea.
I was about to ask what that was. Is that what that is?
I think so. It might be, it also might be a cover of a kettle. I can't tell. But and then they have like a tin cake cover on the stove as well.
But hang on. Is a toaster cozy a thing that you know exists in the world? And that's what you think it might be?
Or yeah, you just see why you would.
Why do you need a toaster cozy?
Because it's unsightly to have it out.
Yeah, it's an appliance.
Really? Cover cool that. Toaster just... is fucking cool, though.
We weren't there yet.
I didn't... that's not my choice. Do I have a toaster cozy? No, I'm saying that's why people have them.
Because you have a job. She was like, what will I do today to make my house a little brighter and may please my husband? Also, a cozy for the toaster. It's the obsessive compulsive chef. can't have that toaster shown.
Oh, but it's all, you know, if you get a good one, it's all like shiny chrome. It's like a toaster in this kitchen would have like art deco leanings, I bet, you know, because you have a toaster from before, you know, the current time, which would be the 50s. So I'm guessing.
Dave. You're already sold. Don't stop closing.
Speaking of selling and buying, Dave in the chat, I will give you all of the toaster cozies you can currently purchase on Etsy.
Wow. It's a thing. All right. See, but toaster cozies for me are like phone covers. I just like, I don't want a case on my phone. I don't want it.
Yes. I agree. I'll also say the thing that de-periods this kitchen is the paper towel holder mounted underneath the cupboard, because that was not a 50s thing at all. Mm-hmm. That looks dumb.
Maybe you put the cozy on to say that the toaster isn't hot anymore. And they never spoke again. And the whole, everything shut down.
All right. One non-kitchen related thing that we should talk about before we move on is she's doing like the Rosie the Riveter scarf, where it's sort of wrapped around the back of her head and then the tie is in the front just above her bangs. And why can't I do this every time I try? It doesn't work. And as we have previously discussed, I have thick, fat hair. So that might be mostly the problem. But it all just ends up like springing out of the holes. I don't understand how to make it all connected like we're seeing here.
What so, springs out of the holes?
My hair.
What holes?
The holes in the scarf over when you tuck the pointed part over the top.
Tara has a series of large holes in her head. Most people have many, many, many little holes where the hairs come out. Yeah. Tara just has five big holes. It just comes out like bamboo.
That's right. Yeah. So I'm not asking us to go through this because this is, you know, it's not a visual medium. But if you, listener, have a good tutorial of how to do this so all of your hair is tucked in and the scarf doesn't have any spaces, send it to me. I need it. Beauty feature number one and only is called Very Party. And as we already mentioned, it's the December/January issue. So we're talking about holiday party looks. And all of this is fake your look. Some of these are successful. Some of these are not. I have pluses and minuses on all of them. But starting with the first one, the false eyelashes. Man, I've never tried to put false eyelashes on to my own face. The only time I've ever worn them, this is not a brag, is if I've been like on TV and a makeup artist puts them on me, and then I will like wear them as long as I think I possibly can.
Yeah.
Which is probably much longer than I should, Pam. But this one has like, you know, black lashes and then silver and gold in between, and she looks so cool. I love this.
I try a lot to put on my own eyelashes. I've bought the magnet ones. I've tried the thing. I just can't. Mm-hmm. I can't. If someone else puts them on me, though, they look
Here
great.
Here we go.
Magnet eyelashes?
Explain
you
to
heard
Dave.
Me.
Okay. I know how magnets work, so I'm interested in where the anchoring magnet goes.
Up your butt.
They just clip between, right? It's like there's two layers.
Is it just a really strong magnet? So that if you put one magnet on your eyes, it actually is like the one up your butt is so strong that holds it in place.
It's called fantastic. You clip. You're kind of clipping your eyelid into some magnets.
No. No.
I'm sorry. The one that I have is you paint on some light paint, and that paint dries and is magnets. So then the eyelash is a magnet. And so then you go up against your eye and it goes and like locks on. So you put magnet glue on your eyelid.
I'm not being hyperbolic. I would 100% stick a giant magnet up my ass before I would clip a magnet to my eye.
Dave, you can't even imagine curling your eyelashes, and that doesn't even hurt.
It really doesn't.
My eyelashes curl on themselves.
I know. We're very lucky.
No, I'm not, because they curl back into my eye, and they poke my eye, and that is one of the worst things.
If you used an eyelash curler, it wouldn't do that.
Am I having a stroke right now, or is it just my eyelashes curling into my eyes again? I can't tell. I'm going to genuinely have a stroke sometime soon, and I'll be like, I assume that's just my eyelashes, because it's the most painful thing that one man can endure.
I can't do like the big strip. It's got to be tiny, tiny ones. You just build up a whole bunch of little ones all around my eye. And I can't do that myself. I just end up.
This is the most upsetting fashion item I've come across yet in Sassy, frankly.
Do you want to see them?
No. Okay, Pam, what about this conversation?
Wait, was that even the button?
No, it's the actual button sound.
No.
Somebody else is going to have to take a screenshot, because right now I've got the blanket over my head just in case Pam's trying to actually show me, because I don't want to see it, because I'll be so skeeved out that this podcast episode will end now.
All right, you can stop. I took a screenshot.
Moving on.
Poor man.
So Sassy was like, you know what you want for Christmas? Just whatever we fucking thought of before we had to turn it in. Because we're not going to give you things to buy. We're just going to give you like, I don't know. Here, what would I make for you if I had 3 seconds?
I mean, you already said it. This is the craft issue. We've already had a lot of crafting in the sequin story. And here's some more.
Here's some more. If you're tired, here's some things to make. And, you know, it's recipes and why they care. And someone, I remember how you could cut out the cards that they had made or the recipes where it was like, just tear this all up. Here's your Christmas present. And I said that in a Seinfeld way. But the fashion Catherine and Andrea's tassels that you can make.
Misspelled.
Honestly, just listen to this. This is how phoned in it is. It's easy. Just stick 2 pushpins about 2 inches apart in a piece of cork and wind embroidery thread around them and around them until the desired thickness is achieved. You'll need about 1 skein of thread per tassel. Use all one color or threads of contrasting colors depending on what you or the friends you want to give them to are into. I'll skip this awful part that explains what different girls are into. Then just snip open the bottom.
That's racist. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just skipping. Then just snip open the bottom loops and tie the tassel with the thread about 1/2 inch from the top. And if you've been following along, this is the part where it says, no, wait, it's the other way around. Yeah.
Edit!
Tie first, then cut the ends.
Fuck you.
What?
Once you
get back your tassel, stick a safety pin in the back and use as a brooch, a stick pin, or string one on velvet ribbon and sling it around your neck. Sling it around your neck.
No.
Merry fucking Christmas.
No.
Sew a few on a sweater for instant holiday glamour. Happy Christmas and Hanukkah, sweethearts. No. And meanwhile, Vicky's over here cooking up an ornament. So on Christmas Eve, her family gets together to bake cookies. Most are for eating, but they also mix up a batch of non-edible dough that we shape into ornaments. I want everybody to hear this cold open. They get together to bake cookies. Most are for eating, but they also mix up a batch of non-edible dough that we shape into ornaments. What could go wrong? We're making Santa heads this year, but if that doesn't turn you on, try trees or reindeer or dreidels or whatever. Here's how.
Do they just not know the word clay? Like, what's going on here?
This is dough.
It's like
that
Play-Doh,
will harden.
But that hardens. Like homemade Play-Doh that hardens.
Yeah.
When you're in kindergarten or Girl Scouts, you make these little ornaments.
That's not clay.
It's not clay.
Clay is clay.
Clay is clay. Mm-hmm. Clay is of the earth. Mm-hmm. This begins with mix 4 cups of flour and 1 cup of salt until well blended. And that, I will tell you, you will know when you have accidentally licked the bowl. And it looks like cookies, but you're a kid and you're just like, mm-hmm. Like you can't help it. It's a cookie. You've made a cookie of some kind. It's just like baking chocolate. You're like, but it's still more cookies.
Okay, but it doesn't sound like this would last any more than a cookie. Like, if they hung these on the tree and one fell, it would snap on the ground, right? Like,
well, yes. And, I mean, that might be why she says we make them every year.
This is basically, I want to hang cookies from my Christmas tree, but maybe the cat won't eat these. Sounds like what this is for. Like, are these going to last 5 years in you know, between trees?
I'm pretty sure I still have one on my tree from when I was a kid. I'll look again this year. Something
you coat them?
To. But, yeah, they... Yeah, you shellac them, and then that's it forever.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about the shellac.
But this one that they have to illustrate it, she's like, this year we made Santa's. Like, maybe you should have made candy canes because this looks like shit. Yes. Like, it's so crappy looking.
Yeah, is it like a, you know that syndrome, the werewolf syndrome? You know, where you get all the hair on your face? Yeah. Like, okay, the hair on the face is the exact Santa. Same texture and color as your beard underneath Santa. You just like, you have that syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Poor guy.
Yes, I hear suits Santa. Yeah. And his nose, all of it's wrong.
Yeah.
On the next page, we have Mr. Mike's 6-point Scrooge guide. And I have nothing against Mike, and I have nothing against people who are not into Christmas or don't celebrate Christmas for religious or political reasons. But this is obviously like just so grudging. Like, I hate Christmas. Look how interesting I am in this case. I'm not saying any listeners who don't celebrate Christmas are like this. This is just like, and it starts with do your gift shopping early. So you're not even that committed to not being into Christmas. You're still participating.
Yeah, bad opener.
It is.
Knowing what the rest of the list is, it's like, that's not on brand.
Yeah. But like, keep headphones on at all times so as to block out stray Christmas tunes. Seek out sympathetic, apathetic friends who are equally miserable this time of year. Oh, that'll be hard. You're a teenager. Like, this is so of an age. It's very tiresome, and I'm sure it resonated with a certain segment of sassy readers very, very much. It's very corny to me, though.
Okay, but you wear headphones not to drown out other music. You wear headphones to signal to the world that you do not wish to be engaged with.
Yes.
That is the real Mr. Mike's tip that should be in here. Because mm-hmm. that is like, on like bah humbug world.
Yeah.
Here come my headphones. Do not talk to me.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Isn't sympathetic apathetic, Leonard Bernstein? Isn't it actually impossible? Isn't sympathetic apathetic friends? That's not a thing that could happen. You cannot have a sympathetic apathetic Leonard Bernstein friend, right?
They're apathetic about the holiday, sympathetic to you.
Yeah.
Maybe. But you are having a thing. I just feel like once you're apathetic, you can't be. There's no going back.
I'd argue with this, but I just don't care anymore.
Yay. Merry Christmas. So then Mary has some holiday beauty spritzes. This one is not this is not a gift, which she suggests. Like, you can give this to someone or you can just put it on your own face. Listen to this. Spritzer number one for normal to oily skin. Take a heaping teaspoon of dried rosemary. No. And boil it in a cup of water for 2 minutes. Strain the liquid into a bowl. Then add 1 cup of distilled water and a few drops of fresh lemon juice. Spray it in your eyes. Spray it right at your eyes.
It's great for chicken barbecue midriff.
Yes, it is. It's a good sauce. Glaze for the chicken barbecue midriff. Spritzer number two, follow the same directions, but use a heaping tablespoon of loose chamomile tea instead of rosemary. Jesus Christ.
Loose
spray chamomile tea with lemon at your face and hope, I mean, that you don't get it right into your eyes.
This is just stuff she had in her sink after making other things. Mm-hmm. And she bottled it and gave it as gifts because, oh shit, people are coming over. It's a spritz?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christina is the only one who's actually trying here.
I mean, she is, but she isn't. What she has done is she's designed you a cassette insert. And if you're of a certain age, you've definitely made your own.
Yes.
All the way from, you know, back in the days of pen and ink doing it. And then designing your own meticulously dimensioned template mm-hmm. in Adobe PageMaker or whatever you're using at the time and then making them that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, all right, find all these songs and put them on the tape. Goodbye.
Yes.
She lists all the songs that you have to source,
mm-hmm.
which means you have them. And then you're going to copy them all to this cassette.
That's right.
It's a make work project, but not great make.
It's not. And you're not even going to be able to find all of these at the library. This is too much work for 1989/1990.
Also, New Year's Day by U2. I don't really think it's New Year's Day.
No!
I think it's New Year's Day.
Uh, There are some other ones. We're not covering every single thing in this insert. It is in the visual aids, though. But the last one we're going to touch on is a poem Catherine wrote herself. Here goes. Christmas is here with a lot of fun. I feel like I wanted to stop right there, but I'm a professional. I kept going. Christmas is here with a lot of fun. But have you ever thought about the true meaning of Christmas? The real one?
Oh, I don't think you're doing this happy enough.
I'm not?
It just seems like it should be more buoyant.
I don't think
Christmas
so.
Christmas is here with a lot of fun. But no, have
but
you ever
that's
thought
the
about
turn,
hang
but...
on.
Okay.
Christmas is here with a lot of fun. But have you ever thought about the true meaning of Christmas? The real one? I'm just saying.
Please keep going.
Okay, I hadn't read it before. I just read the first couple. So it's going to be a journey for me too. On this day, Jesus Christ was born on a very cold and chilly morn. Although at Christmas we have trees and wreaths, what we really need is brotherhood and peace. That's what Christ was here for. And that's why he lives no more.
Whoa.
All right, I'll want to stop there, but there's four more lines. Mm-hmm. We should do what Christ wanted for everyone. Because if we do get his work done. Okay, that's bad.
She was 10.
Bad line split here. Okay. We should do what Christ wanted for everyone. Because if we do get his work done, this world will have happiness and mirth. And then we may someday have peace on earth.
I realized she was 10, but that's still dog shit. She should not have published this in a magazine. It's terrible. It's really bad. Don't bring up Christ's death. It's Christmas. This is like the moment in Kunk on Earth when she's like, why aren't there any pictures on the crucifix of baby Jesus being crucified? Different mood, Catherine. Also real heavy on the Jesus-y stuff. I realize that's his birthday and... but this is a secular magazine. It's a little heavy. Let's talk about some ads because we got some new ones. Jordache Basics. I would love to think this is basic in the current colloquial sense, but this vest is... not basic enough for me. It has a bunch of ornamental buttons on it. Also, it is like burnout acid washed. And she's got a scarf and she's got little stone hoops and she looks terrible. Go buy it at Miller's Outpost. That's the best part of the ad. The logo for Miller's
the
Outpost.
The vest with all the little circle things. It's like she's trying to pull off kind of a hippy dippy Thor.
The buttons have embroidery around them.
Mm-hmm.
The thing under it is kind of like a bra with sleeves, right? Because it seems to not go all the way down to her jeans.
I can't tell
if we could see her tummy, but
yeah,
it doesn't seem. What I just noticed is it just looks very hot. And like her, she's barely using anything to touch the ground because it's all on fire. It's all on fire.
And then on the next page, we got Carrie Boone for CoverGirl, in which Carrie Boone has been miniaturized and is about to be dunked on by a bottle of Thick Lash mascara.
Haven't we talked about this one before? This isn't a new ad.
She's going to get slimed.
This is Carrie Boone, sassy issue number one CoverGirl. Not that you would be able to tell because she also has a lot of versatility in this hairstyle. This momish hairstyle completely transforms her in a bad way. On page 5, the start of a very thrilling era, Paula Abdul for Reebok. Millions of girls want to be in her shoes, but she wants to be in ours, and she... is doing her very, very best to make Reebok mom shoes look cool, but they don't. They look bad.
They really don't. I can't believe they were so popular.
Ugh, they're so ugly. And then on page 7, in keeping with the overall party theme of this holiday issue, we got an ad for Merry-Go-Round Fashion Boutique's Party Girls.
That means hookers, Pam.
No.
Sex workers. They are in sequins. I assume no one stuck on by hand. And on the right, looking like she forgot her keys, is our old friend Paula Marshall, future actress, in matching gloves, looking real cute. And the girl in the middle looks like Phoebe Cates, but I'm pretty sure it's not.
the cute friend on the right is looking at us like, I hate my fucking friends. Someone get me out of here. What? How? I'm not a party girl. I hate all of this.
Can you believe this is our third party of the night? Jesus Christ. On page 31, we have an ad for Speedle Engravables. These are ID bracelets. Trying to promote this to us is a dude in the inset with his hair all slicked back saying, I think you have to be incredibly stupid and insecure to do drugs. Whoa, what did I ask? You're coming in real hot, Chad. What the fuck? Especially knowing how bad they are, I want to get into more of the things in my life that make me happy naturally, like my friends, my family, and most of all, me. What? I mean, I guess that's in keeping with someone who wants to wear a bracelet with their own name on it, but still a very weird pitch to the potential buyer because he looks like a douche and these bracelets look like shit.
Mm. Before we move on to the next ad, is anybody actually on it? And if not, don't go there.
Okay, I'm not.
Okay. No, I'm not there.
The next ad is from the page of many ads in the back.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Your 1/8, your 1/32 size ads.
Yes.
Want to be a paralegal? How about a model? Those ads. We have one here for calendars. 1990 okay. Calendars of your favorite stars. Blah, 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 blah. There are four price tiers. Now, I'm going to say the subject matter, and you tell me if it's top tier, 2, 3, or 4.
Okay.
There is one person that's in number 4.
Oh,
only
okay.
One. Okay.
Okay.
Harley Davidson, the brand.
2.
Number 1.
Ah, okay.
Pam. Elvira.
3.
Yes, correct. Ding, ding. Batman, Tara.
Oh, 1.
You would think. 2.
Whoa.
Debbie Gibson, Pam.
1.
1990. Yes, 1 is correct. Wise Guy. Wise Guy, Tara.
Oh, the TV show?
Uh-huh.
3.
Yes, correct. Corey Haim, Pam.
1.
Also 3.
Whoa!
What?
Yep. George Michael, Tara.
1.
Yes. All right. There's a bunch more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But guess what sassy, been in sassy, this person, is the sole 4th tier calendar person.
Are you going to read them or we have to just guess?
I'll read you the rest, okay? Here's all the ones that are not this person.
Okay, yep. Mm-hmm.
Top tier, Debbie Gibson, George Michael, Harley Davidson, Madonna, New Kids on the Block.
Okay.
Tier number 2, that's your $11 calendar. Mm-hmm. Your $10 calendar, which seems really expensive for this time still. $10 calendar, 21 Jump Street, Batman, Bon Jovi. Your $10 calendar, Corey Haim, Elvira, Motley Crue, Skid Row, who? Mm. Weird outlier here. Winger, Wise Guy, and then your $9 calendar, Soul, it's a person, it's not a band.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it a musical artist?
No. It's an actor.
Is it Keanu?
Not Keanu.
Is it Jason Gedrick?
No, it's an actress. Sorry.
Actress.
Yeah. Oh, actress.
I was using actor in the...
Okay. Is it Mary Stuart Masterson?
No.
Is Alyssa it... Milano.
It's Alyssa Milano. Correct, hey! Pam. You win calendars.
Yes. I know what day it is.
Good job, Pam.
Just not what year ever.
Lastly, on the inside cover, I guess it's supposed to be on page 93, is Vision Streetwear again. Vision Streetwear is back with their whatever we're doing this month ads. They're never the same. They never really make sense. Mm-hmm. This one is like a guitarist guy, slight Elvis vibes, slight rockabilly kind of sensibility with a 1950s tail fin going up his butt as he's singing a song. Complete. Now, that's part of it. And then they also thought they had to add Webster defines as copy below that, which is so of its time.
Yeah.
Kind of made my teeth ache.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ads.
Yeah, this guy looks like a real chode.
It's time for Sassy Club.
Sassy Club.
Let me introduce. I always introduce Sassy Club. Why are you?
Okay, I'm sorry because you weren't.
Well, I was, but I keep on interrupting me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sassy Club is here.
Sassy Club.
Oh, now I got to leave the rest of it in. All right, I see what you did there, Tara. Sassy Club is here. It is the holidays. For Tara,
yep.
I'm going to get the Christmas ornament, rainbow Christmas ornament color selection.
Excellent.
Earrings.
Great.
With the caveat that you have to wear all of them pictured at once on each ear. Looks like a bunch of grapes.
Yeah.
I want okay. on each. I don't know if your ears will support that, but that's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And for Pam, I'm buying you the best friend's pillow.
Aww.
So you can give that to whoever your best friend is.
Oh.
Oh,
I felt that. Ow.
I'm giving Pam the oh-so-very English patches because yeah. Pam likes a project and she can sew them on her jean jacket or what have you.
My dad had to do qualifications for all these things in Ontario when he was a police officer, but they were all named after Saint such and such back in Britain.
Sure.
So it was like, you know, the Saint John's Ambulance Service and stuff that. But they all kind of look like that, mm-hmm. but they were like official, like OPP kind of stuff. And I really wanted to steal them and put them on stuff exactly in this era.
Yeah.
Because this was like, you know, the blazer with the patch,
mm-hmm.
the sweaters that had the embroidery that all looked like lions and tigers and unicorns and shit like that on.
I bet they're still in a box in your
I have
in that
them.
House.
Oh no, I took them. I have them here.
Oh, you have them? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yep. Well, I'll sew them on something if you want.
Hmm. Yeah.
And for Pam.
Wait, hang on. I got it. I figured out what I want them sewn on.
What?
Toaster cozy.
So anyway, that's what Pam's getting, and Dave is getting the sassy panties. Because that's just, I would like to see that.
Okay, yeah. Here's what I want, though. I want the sassy panties, but I'm going to put them on that bear. The little stuffed bear.
I thought you were going to say, I'm getting the sassy panties, but I'm putting them on the toaster.
It would make a lovely toaster cozy.
Pam.
Well, I'm going to get you the Fair Isle socks, because I actually think you could rock them.
Yep.
And I'm going to get Dave the Groovin' to Debbie Gibson or Bon Jovi compact portable cassette stereo speaker. And I'm sorry, Dave, they choose the color. So I don't know. That doesn't say what colors there are. I don't know what is coming at you. I don't even know how it works.
It's the thought that counts. So I know I'm not going to get a choice of color, but I will say also, those things never work.
Oh, they never work.
Never
and they always
work,
need a battery
ever.
That you're like, I don't go to Radio Shack on a regular basis.
I had my fingers crossed for the sassy transparent pouch above it.
Oh.
Yeah, that was pretty
cool. Yeah, for your tampons?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the diary, we get an update on their softball team, which seems to be, we played one game, we got some ringers, they were the only ones that did anything, but the ringers included Josh Charles, cool, the bass player from Cruel Story of Youth, I'm not going to say his name because it will mean nothing to anyone, and John Flansburgh, definitely the half of They Might Be Giants that I would have guessed is better at baseball than the other one. John Linnell does not give softball vibes, in my opinion, but in this issue, we also discover that Catherine has moved to Chicago to be near her family, but is continuing to work remotely via fax machine. Oh, that sounds horrible. And I say that as someone who has worked remotely for 20 plus years from everyone else I've ever worked with. Oh my God, by fax? Brutal.
She doesn't have her own fax machine because they're so really expensive, right? So every time she has to go to wherever once or twice a day to receive and send whatever is going on in her editorial universe.
Oh, God.
So that is even worse.
Yeah. Oof. I'm curious to tell if we'll be able to see it in the edits on her pieces going forward of like, well, she was in Chicago. They were on their 19th fax of this story, and they were just like, fuck it, it's good enough.
But then also, like, you're subject to the vagaries of the actual physical hardware, because we all had that fax where the paper started going, like, askew in the feeder. And then, like, suddenly, like, all your copy is in the fucking Phantom Zone from Superman 2.
Yeah. Ooh.
Tara. Yeah. The phone is ringing for you. You're going to answer it.
My phone is ringing?
Ring. Your phone's ringing. Ring.
Hello?
Hey, so this is Brenda Penick, and I'm just calling the hotline to tell Tara that my husband, Dave Wicked D. Penick, bass player for The Cruel Story of Youth, is awesome. And they call me Bitchy B, and, like, I try not to be that all the time. But, like, you can't be, like, talking like Wicked D doesn't matter anymore because, like, a lot of people care. And, like, we're going to get him a star on the Walk of Fame and shit, so you can just go fuck yourself.
Wait, don't hang up yet. I just took Tara. Oh, this is Dave. I took Tara's phone. What's the D stand for in Wicked D, please? I was curious.
You'd like to know, wouldn't you? You'd like to see the whole D. It's wicked. We go docking every Tuesday. They also call Neil Neelums in here, and that is enough to just, like, cancel a subscription for a year just so they can learn their lesson.
Honest to God, this is something Christina keeps doing, and I guess that, like, it's infected the whole staff, like, using, you know, it's like Tedums or whatever. This is not the first time we've seen it, and I hate it every time. Say what?
Our first letter to Sassy. River Likes Our Fur, which there's an REM title. Just want to thank Sassy for the inspiring interview with River Phoenix. He's been my idol for years, and I hope that your article will make an impact on all the people out there who think animal rights is about as important as the molecular structure of used Kleenex.
That's so funny to me.
Like, the soon as Erin was done writing that, she was like, fuck, that's good. Yeah, I'm going to send this in. Thank you, River, for standing up for what is right. Thank you, Sassy, for printing it. The molecular structure of used Kleenex.
Shitty tone carries over to the response to the next one, which is, in your October edition in What Now? You have a section on animal rights and River's interview about animal rights, but in the fashion section, welcome to Bedrock. Remember that? There's a fox stole and a leopard cape. My question is, are you for or against animal rights, Heather Richards in Texas? But the answer is, thank you, Heather, for being so perceptive, but they're fake. Jane, which is like, you know.
So bitchy.
Dunk.
Love it.
Dunk.
And then the last section of the letters is kind of a grab bag. They've headed it, We Get Around. The first one reads, I am 82 years old and live in the Lutheran home for old ladies like me. Last week was the first time I read Sassy. I should think mothers who really want to be close to their daughters would let them read Sassy and read it themselves. I find it very interesting to be living this long and observing the changes in our thinking about life and major issues. I want to advance with the mainstream of life and not along at the tail end. Signed, Ms. Brown of Avada, Colorado. Love this letter. This woman who was born in, like, the 1900s is like, yes, Sassy is the shit. Good for her.
Yes. I also flagged the second letter because I love it, too. I subscribe to your magazine because I think it's the most entertaining and realistic one I've seen for teenagers. I look forward to it every month and pass it around to friends who haven't seen it. The fact is, I'm 29 years old, 30 in December. Although I buy adult women's magazines we won't name fairly often, I don't think I'd subscribe to them. I'd rather read Sassy's articles on scary skinheads and Native Americans than the how to talk to your boss and how to talk about your orgasm repeats they run. Sassy endures past the teen years. Audrey, New York, New York.
Ooh, shots fired at Cosmo. That is definitely what she's referring to because they were inveterate story repeaters. Faux show. Finally, I'm a 17-year-old male human being. I'm totally heterosexual, and I have a girlfriend, Kate, best buddy in the world. But I like, no, love Sassy. I love you girls, what you say, what you write, what you are. And if it wasn't a girls-only thing, I'd shave my legs because I think hair, except on your head, is very ugly. P.S., Chanel number 5 rules. Kate wears it. Signed, Stefan of Montreal, Quebec. And I hope he has come out since then because he is trying a little bit too hard in this letter. Next time! It's our December 1989, January 1990 Slumber Party episode. Just a few months late or early, we'll tell you the results of our rating our Ho-Ho-Honus quiz. Then we will play your latest voicemails.
Hey, you can call us at 720-SASSY-GO to leave us a voicemail about the show or the magazine. We might play it on a future episode. So come on down to listentosassy.com for everything that you might need. And that's where you find us. And you're going to take our quiz and all the things. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
December 1989/January 1990 in our fashion. I just realized this was something for the year before. I just pammed it, so never mind. I'm going to take this off. I don't have something.
Okay.
So we'll just pammed it. We're not. I thought we're not doing that anymore. I just answered all the questions.
Yes.
Magnum is missing. Can you think of anything?
No, no, no. This time pammed it means I forgot which year I was in. I had something for that would have been for January 1989.
This time,
not January,
because I didn't know what year I was in. That's pamming.
All right, yeah. That's valid. Poor Pam. It's still going on, going strong.
All right, so let's just start with the first.
Yeah. Okay.